Welcome to the Good Book Club on Spirit Mornings. Let's listen as we open the Good Book.
The letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39.
What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes, who was raised from the dead? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Truth and Life Dramatized Audio Bible Version of Romans chapter 8, the final verses, 31 to 39. Good Book Club is on the air. The Bibles are open. I'm Bruce McGregor. Jen Brown and Jen joining us today. We're delighted to have back with us Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Deacon, welcome to the Good Book Club.
Thank you very much. It's always great to be with you. And I have to tell you, I was in pain listening to those temperatures that you were giving.
We are too, Deacon Harold.
It's very painful.
We don't like them at all.
Wake up, you look at it, and you go, ouch.
They're bone cracking. Yes. It's hard to start a day early with these temperatures. But we're here, and you know what? What did I say? It's a blessed day even. We're going to make the most of this day no matter what because God has given it to us.
We're going to warm the cockles of our heart with Scripture.
And Paul does kind of tell us a little bit about this. God's love in Jesus Christ gives us this warm sonship offering.
Yeah, so Paul, in this last section of we're talking about salvation in Christ, is basically summarizing the blessings of the spiritual life in the assurance of God's love for us in Christ. So he seems to be trying to remove doubts and difficulties that were unanswered or not covered by his teaching thus far. And so Paul understands that no teaching of the Catholic doctrine can alleviate all the problems of putting the faith into practice. And so all of the tribulations that we experience can be overcome through the sufferings of Christ in which we share. So it's kind of a summary of all of chapter 8, which is a summary of the blessings of the spiritual life. And so in verse, we had the famous line, if God is for us, who can be against us? I think there was even a song, I remember singing in grade school, something like that. Yeah, it brought back a memory. I'm like, that sounds familiar. But in verse 32, he did not spare his own son, it gave him up for us, is actually a wonderful reference to Genesis 22. That's where, remember, Abraham took his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah, and Isaac carried the sticks for the wood for the offering, and he was about to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord stopped him. And said, you have not even withheld your son from the Lord, you know, and then he gave the covenant promise to Abraham. So Paul uses a reference to this passage in Genesis to compare the father's surrender of Christ to Abraham's surrender of Isaac. So it's prefiguring Calgary in the sense that literally, like, Abraham took his son up to Mount Moriah, as it was called back then. But the time of Christ, it was later called Golgotha, or the hill outside of the Jerusalem wall. So it was the same hill where Abraham took his son Isaac, was the same hill in which Christ died on for our sins. And we know that if you look at Second Chronicles, there's a wonderful reference there when Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, See? So it all ties in quite nicely what Paul's doing there.
Yeah, it does. And as we look at verse 35 here, a nice contrast for us, Deacon Harold. Paul is saying that suffering doesn't have the power to separate us from Christ. Only sin can cut us away from God.
Yes, yes. And in fact, Paul says in Colossians, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. Wait a minute. What do you mean I make up in my own flesh what is lacking? What's lacking in Christ's suffering? Well, nothing. Christ's suffering is all sufficient for the forgiveness of our sins. But what's missing? My participation. My participation in the suffering of Christ. So Paul is telling us we don't have to worry about trials and tribulations and all those kinds of things that come into our life. And he's giving us a wonderful little exposition on the meaning of suffering. See, there's a profound link, Paul is saying, between sharing in the cross of Christ and sharing in the kingdom of Christ. So the glory that's involved in our redemption is that Christ redeemed. By dying, he redeemed us because he conquered death. The worst thing that can separate us from God is death. That was the worst effect of the fall in original sin. But now Paul is saying by us suffering, and we're connecting ourselves with the power of redemption in Christ, and that the risen Lord enable us to suffer and share in his crucifixion, passion, and death. So suffering with and in Christ is for the sake of manifesting God's kingdom. See, that is a completely different understanding from what happens in our culture today. See, in our culture today, the culture says, well, you have to get rid of all suffering. We have to avoid it because it's meaningless. No, Paul is saying we have to find meaning in the suffering that's unavoidable. So there's this beautiful cooperation that occurs and can only be truly realized in a loving relationship of communion to which God calls us through the suffering we experience. Mm-hmm. That's the key to understand what Paul is saying here.
And so when people are trying to, when they start reading the Bible or start diving deeper into Jesus, some might look at the suffering of Christ on the cross and not understand that and wonder why, if God could do anything, why he would even have him die in such a manner. That seems meaningless to some people, like why this happens. But we look to the cross because Christ walks with us in our suffering here, right now.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And we have a role, in a sense, throughout the cooperation, in which how we can talk about how we're made worthy of the dignity of the kingdom that Christ is always talking about, particularly in Matthew's gospel. So by enduring the suffering, which we can't, I mean, every single person, no matter who you are, is going to suffer. But we are, what Paul is saying here, we are made worthy of the kingdom of God by uniting our sufferings to the suffering of Christ. So Christ's redemption, in a sense, is worked out in us, in our participation of what he did. Beautiful.
So we're not crushed by the suffering, but conquered, and it's extremely redemptive, as you were just saying. This is just such powerful words in just such few verses as they wrap up to this God's love in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, and Paul talks about in verse 36 there, which is actually a quote from the Psalms. So in verse 36, he says, for it is written, for the sake we're being killed all day long, regard as sheep for the slaughter. That's a direct reference to Psalm 44, which is written by, interestingly enough, one of the Psalms is the Sons of Korah, and it's a Maskil Psalm. So two things there. So the Korah, remember in number 16, was swallowed up. Him and his whole family swallowed up alive. The ground opened, and it says they went down alive to Sheol because they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. But their followers, the people who followed the thinking of Korah were later redeemed and became actually one of the chief Levites who were appointed by David to be the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. So in quoting that particular psalm, interestingly enough, it's kind of the redemption of Korah you know, in the eyes. And as Paul's making that connection, there are redemption also through Christ. And it's also a maskil psalm. And maskil psalm means that it's in light. It's a psalm that brings enlightenment and wisdom, which is exactly what Paul is trying to do when he's connecting our suffering. So, I mean, Paul, this is actually quite brilliant. It's just a few lines that we're looking at, but really some really rich, wonderful teaching about redemption and suffering. And again, this particular psalm about the sons of Korah, which is about redemption as well.
How about that, the only real threat to our salvation, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers?
Only real threat that could separate us is sin. Because Paul talks about participating, but we can choose not to participate. We can choose to say no, and because we're free, we have freedom in Christ. We have free will. God always wants us to say yes. He always wants us to have our hearts completely open to His will, completely open to His love. But that love has to be given in freedom. We're free to say yes, or we're free to say no. So we can take the suffering that we experience, and by uniting it with Christ, we are brought back to the Father. But we can also reject that, like what our culture is doing. That's how we have assisted suicide and abortion and euthanasia and fostering this culture of death, which is antithetical to exactly what Paul is teaching us today.
Spirit Morning, Spirit Catholic Radio Network, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers with Bruce McGregor and Jen Brown today. And it is the feast today, Deacon, of St. Josephine Bakida. And we want to acknowledge another person that we want to talk about here today, and that's Father Augustus Tolton.
Well, the month is Black History Month, and so he is a very important person in the history of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, he is. He's the first Black Catholic priest. And, you know, I wrote a book on Father Tolton, not since about his life, but it's about lessons we can learn from his life. And we're so caught up in racial injustice and racism and all that stuff today. And he gives us a wonderful roadmap through the witness of his life on how to overcome with racism and overcome prejudice within ourselves without violence and without all the things that we're seeing today. And he's just a beautiful witness and example of building strong families, of the power of prayer, of finding joy in God's mercy, of enduring suffering well. So there's also a beautiful tie-in with what St. Paul is saying today, lived out through the life of people like Josephine Bakida, whose feast day is today, and Father Augustus Tolton and so many others.
You know, when Father Augustus Tolton would preach and give homilies, they would have had a really hard time with COVID restrictions because people wanted to hear his homilies so badly. They would crowd the churches wherever he was preaching, because he did such a great job in delivering the message of the good news of Jesus Christ.
You know, at first people came because it was like an anomaly. Oh, there's a Black priest. Let's go see what he has. You know, but they stayed and kept coming and kept packing his church every Sunday because of the message. They went because of the man, but they stayed because of the message. And that's a big lesson that we have to learn today as Catholics. You know, so many people, with this COVID-19, you know, and some people, at least in my parish, haven't been able to go to Mass in about a year, especially the elderly, you know, who are still under the COVID restrictions. So it's been tough. It's been really difficult. But we can still find the joy, you know, in our faith that Father Tolton brought, even in the midst of incredible suffering that he experienced, even in his priesthood. The other priests mocked him and ridiculed him. In fact, they told the people, the white parishioners that were going to his parish, they were told by the white priest that if they went to his parish, it didn't count for their Sunday obligation.
Wow.
So it's like, wow. And but he endured all that with grace and in God's love. And again, can serve as a wonderful witness for all of us, remembering that we have to focus on the teachings of the church and not the people in the church, who are all sinners in need of God's mercy, including all three of us.
Yeah, amen right to that. And he is currently a servant of God, Father Augustus Tolton.
So where is his cause for canonization now, Deacon? Do you know?
Yeah, so he's gone through, I think, the most difficult part of the process, which is the assessment. And some of it, quite frankly, was easy because he studied in Rome. you know, he was ordained a priest. He studied at the Vatican and was ordained a priest in Rome. So they have all those records there. And, you know, they did all of the genetic tests when they dug him up and took some samples and all that kind of stuff. And so he is a servant of God, which is the step before beatification. So all that has to happen now is a miracle and has to be attributed to him. Then he becomes beatified in a second miracle for sainthood.
Beautiful. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers with us today, talking about Romans, and Father Augustus Tolton, just to boot. That's a great thing. Deacon, thanks so much for being with us, and could we ask you to impart a diaconal blessing for our day?
Sure. It's always great to be with you. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. The Good Book Club, heard Monday through Friday on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.